For more than 100 years, U.S. presidents have had the authority to declare national monuments in order to federally protect land. However, this power might be removed if a new bill passes Congress. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, February 17th. Our guest this hour says this new legislation threatens the future of national monuments and national parks. We'll find out why, and we'll welcome your thoughts and questions. Do you think the century-old American Antiquities Act should be changed? Should the protection of federal land and the designation of national monuments require congressional approval and the approval of affected state legislatures? And why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Shelby Carpenter, a freelance writer, a mountain guide with the American Alpine Institute, and author of Images of America, Denali National Park and Preserve. And she joins us from California, so we want to thank her for getting up extra early to be with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So first off, what is the American Antiquities Act?
So the Antiquities Act allows the president to designate national monuments, and it's an act that allows him to preserve lands for this purpose for the public, and he doesn't need congressional approval to do this, whereas, say, a national park would require the involvement of Congress. The act was signed into law by President Theodore Roosevelt in 1906, and it's been used by presidents of both major parties since then.
Yeah, and why is this so important that a president have this power?
I think this is important because it allows the president able to make these designations more quickly if lands are under threat. The congressional approval just involves a lot more hurdles in the whole process.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Maybe we should take some care in what we preserve as a national monument.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think that there's definitely two sides to this coin. I can understand for marine national monuments, some states wanting to have. So for one thing I should say about Don Young's bill, the bill that wants to change the Antiquities Act, is that it would require the involvement of Congress to create national monuments. And then for marine national monuments, so for anything at sea, it would require the involvement of state legislatures. And the state legislatures of a state within 100 nautical miles would have to sign off. So say from Don Young's perspective, Representative Young is from Alaska. He's trying to protect the Alaskan fishing industry and wants to have local economies involved. So I can understand both sides to that to some extent, but I also want to say that public lands have a lot of value for helping local economies and promoting tourism, which is a sustainable industry. It's a law that's been in place for a century, and it's been used pretty well so far.
And Congressman Young's colleagues in the Senate, I see, have joined him in this effort. I'm assuming it's a very similar bill. The two U.S. senators in Alaska have teamed up, and they are introducing, just last week, said they will introduce what they are calling the Improved National Monument Designation Process Act, which would prohibit the president from declaring a federal property a national monument. And it would require congressional approval, and it said state legislative approval in the state involved.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't aware of the most recent.
Yeah, but that's the, I mean, they apparently are doing this in part because the president is protecting some land in Alaska that they fear is being done to stop energy exploration.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're concerned about the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Right. So shouldn't they be concerned? I mean, do you feel that they have a legitimate concern here that the president is designating this, land? You know, they fear he's going to declare it a national monument, I guess.
I mean, energy is definitely a big concern in Alaska. I used to live there, and I know how big of an issue that is, and know a lot of people who work in the energy industry there. So I do understand wanting to have local economies and local governments involved in making these decisions. But I also do believe the Antiquities Act is an important bill to have in place, and it's something that, when some of these designations have been made, encountered some initial resistance because people were worried about being able to access the land and use it for commercial purposes. And then it ended up being a really good thing to have these designations. Mm-hmm. So a lot of some of our most cherished national parks started as national monuments. If you think about like Devil's Tower in Wyoming or Grand Teton National Park or Grand Canyon National Park even, all were Antiquities Act designations. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really important bill that helps us preserve pristine land.
Right. It's certainly not just Alaska. Tell us a little bit about, the difference between a national park and a national monument?
Really the main difference is that one has involved congressional approval and that one is designated by the president. I think that once something kind of gets bumped up from a national monument to a national park, it does tend to drive more tourism to the area. So you do get a lot more people coming in, which can be helpful for local economies. But oftentimes national monuments are still managed by the National Park Service.
Right. So a national monument could one day become a national park. Is it considered the first
Correct.
Step in becoming a national park?
It can be a step, but it doesn't have to be a step.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just trying to, because I've been to some national monuments and I've been to some national parks, and I wasn't quite sure what the difference was. It's just that the president made the declaration it was a national monument, and it didn't go through the full process or wasn't considered to be a national park by Congress yet.
Yeah, I think it's more a matter of the process to how that land gets protected.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us some of the national monuments that are now treasured national parks.
Yes, so Grand Teton National Park, Grand Canyon National Park, for instance, Denali National Park, are all the first ones to come to mind.
Yeah, and why do you think this proposed legislation would threaten the future of national monuments?
It would just, like I said earlier, it's something that would add a lot more hurdles to the process, and people who are in favor of Don Young's bill and this most recent bill that's been introduced say, you know, this is something that should have additional steps. But, I mean, ultimately, it would involve a lot more hurdles to having monuments get designated, and the lands could be lost to development before they could ever get protected.
Yeah. And this had been, similar legislation had been proposed, I believe, even last year, but it's a new Congress, isn't it?
It is a new Congress. It has the largest Republican majority since the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. So what are you trying to do to stop it? I suppose talking about it, but is there some effort to try to fight this bill?
I know that there is an effort from environmental advocates. I'd say that I'm primarily a journalist, and I wrote an article about this and I'm fascinated by the topic, but I'm not actively advocating in one direction or the other. I'm exploring the issue and writing about it.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us why you're interested in this issue as a journalist, and you're serious, you have a lot of interest in outdoors?
Yeah, I mean, I'm passionate about being outside and exploring these natural wonders, and I'm very grateful for these areas that have been preserved for me to go enjoy and for my friends to enjoy and my family to enjoy. I live 4.5 hours from Yosemite, and being able to go to these places is a real gift and something that I want people in the future to continue to be able to have. And yeah, I really value it a lot.
We are talking about national monuments and national parks, and a bill that's in Congress that would change the way national monuments are designated. Currently, U.S. presidents have the authority via executive order to protect federal land and declare an area a national monument. However, there is a bill that has been introduced in Congress that would take that authority away from the president and make such a designation require it to have congressional approval and state legislative approval. Do you think that this change is needed or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Are national monuments in danger? We are talking about a proposed change to the Antiquities Act. The Antiquities Act, established more than 100 years ago, gives the U.S. president the authority to declare a national monument in order to federally protect land. However, this power could be removed under new legislation in Congress. The legislation would require congressional approval of a national monument or even state legislative approval in the affected state. We wonder if you think that this change is needed or not. Does this change concern you or not? Our guest is Shelby Carpenter, freelance writer, a mountain guide with the American Alpine Institute, and author of Images of America, Denali National Park and Preserve. She wrote a recent piece over this fight, over this debate that we have posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's take some calls. We have Troy in Muskego with us. Hello, Troy.
Hello. I would completely disagree with taking that power away from the president, especially now with the way our Congress is with a majority Republican. I can totally see that being a situation where, whether it's a pipeline or anything that wants to be built, and then they're going to say, well, this is on the property of a national monument or something, so then they can override that and build what they want to build. And then the president doesn't have the power to say, no, you can't build on this area. This is a preserved area. And I think what it does is it'll kind of go out to the highest bidder in Congress. And if somebody wants something built, they can kind of override the president then. That's the way I see that.
And that is the concern, Shelby?
Yes, I would agree.
The thought is that we would, as your piece mentions, imagine if the Grand Canyon, the Grand Tetons, or Devil's Tower weren't public land. If instead of being open to everyone, they belonged to private landowners with rights to dig mines, build shopping malls, or lock people out of them altogether. And that is... That's what this fight is all about. You and others, or there are environmentalists who are concerned that we're not going to be protecting national treasures, and instead we're going to have private development on them.
Yes, I think that's definitely the concern, just wanting to make sure that these beautiful lands are preserved for future generations.
We have... We do have Dennis on Facebook who says Congress would like to strip the power from the president, partly because they believe the president is overreaching. But many national monuments would not have been established if the president had waited for Congress to act. Do you know if that's true, Shelby?
I think that's a hard one to estimate given we have a lot of national monuments. I would say that was one of the reasons the Antiquities Act got established in the first place, was President Roosevelt wanted to preserve Devil's Tower in Wyoming and wasn't able to get congressional approval quickly enough to make that happen. So that's definitely part of the history of this bill.
I'm curious to know more about that. Do you know why President Roosevelt was having trouble getting Devil's Tower declared a national monument?
You know, I don't know more details on the exact history of that. I just know that that was part of the whole story for how this bill came about.
Yeah. Well, a listener on Facebook also wonders, well, why make this change now? Why not 100 years ago? I guess they're not understanding that the Antiquities Act was established 100 years ago. So why the effort to change it? Do you have more on that?
Well, the effort to change it is largely coming from politicians in Alaska who are concerned about energy access and drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve, and also about the fishing industry in Bristol Bay. So worried about those lands being preserved instead of being available to local industries.
Yeah. And Dennis went on to say in his Facebook post that out west, there is legislation in several states to turn federal lands back to the states. Do you know that to be the case?
I don't know about that one.
Well, we are talking about whether national monuments are in danger and wondering if you have thoughts or questions about this proposed change to the Antiquities Act, which allows U.S. presidents to designate national monuments without congressional approval. This new legislation would require congressional approval to designate a national monument. So we wonder if you support or oppose this proposed change. We wonder if you visit national monuments. Do you love to visit national monuments? Do you are you a fan of the national parks? What thoughts or experiences would you like to share about that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with a freelance writer who's also an outdoor enthusiast, Shelby Carpenter, a mountain guide with the American Alpine Institute, author of Images of America, Denali National Park and Preserve. So Denali, Shelby, is one of the national parks that was first a national monument?
Not first a national monument, though I believe parts of the land in Denali was preserved as a national monument. So it was done kind of as a piecemeal effort, and the national monument was part of that and part of what made the park what it is today.
Yeah. Tell us why you love that park.
It's just so strikingly beautiful. I used to, as I mentioned earlier, I used to live in Alaska, and I lived in Anchorage, and you can see Denali from Anchorage, even though it's hundreds of miles away. It's just the mountain itself is just the biggest thing in the sky, and it's just calling to you. It's so beautiful, and it's just got these, when you actually get to the park, these striking, kind of scary, snowy peaks. It's just an incredible place.
Yeah, so tell us why you have personally benefited from seeing national parks.
Why I've personally benefited from seeing national parks, I really value the opportunity to go to these places. I think it's really a gift in that I get to work as a mountain guide on Denali and lead summit trips and you go up to a camp at 14,000 feet and I can see Mount Foraker and Mount Hunter, two of the other tallest peaks in the range right there, and the mountains are sticking up through the clouds. It's just being able to go to these places is really something special, and I appreciate that there are systems in place like the Antiquities Act to help make that happen and make that possible.
Connie on Facebook says the federal government is in debt. They lack the money to maintain the land that they already have. Why keep grabbing more? Why do so many want to recklessly add debt and maintenance costs onto future generations? Why not close up this loophole and have all federal land purchases undergo the same scrutiny? What do you say to that?
I mean, I would say that, you know, there's two sides to this story. That on the one hand, I can understand the benefit of wanting to have some extra steps and involvement in the process. But I also say that public lands, you know, it's not an either-or economic equation, that if the lands can't be developed, then they're not going to benefit the economies, because that's not the case. You have to consider the tourism industry and all the tourism dollars that can come to local communities if there's a national monument designation. In fact, Headwaters Economics, a nonpartisan economic group, did a whole study of national monuments and looked at national monuments, communities near national monuments, and compared them to communities that are similar but not near national monuments, and found that the ones near national monuments were much more economically prosperous compared to, you know, counties that are similar. So I think that you really have to look at public lands as something that can also benefit the economy. It's not something that necessarily takes away from that.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call from Scott in New Glarus. Hello, Scott.
Yes, I'm wondering if this bill that Congress is considering needs to be signed by the president to become law. That seems somewhat of a sticking point.
Well, that's usually the case if Congress passes a bill. So can the president just veto this, Shelby?
Yeah, I mean, the president is going to have veto power on this, just like any other bill.
Right, and but we don't know if there's going to be the two-thirds majority needed to override it until you know, there's more known about who supports it and who doesn't. So, Scott, regardless of the political, he's going to go away. I guess he's not worried about it because he thinks the president can just veto it. So should we just not worry about this, Shelby?
I think we should definitely still worry about it. I mean, we have the largest Republican majority since the 1930s. It is a possibility that there would be enough support for the bill in Congress to override a veto. So I do think it's still a serious concern. Mm-hmm.
While I know you just talked about some of the economic and tourist benefits of national monuments, let alone you know the beauty of national monuments, do we have enough already? I think that's what some people are suggesting, is that we have a lot of federally protected land and a lot of beautiful land preserved. Do we really need more?
Yeah, I think that's something to take on a case-by-case basis. I think that it all depends on what someone would use the act for. It's definitely, sort of in the power of the person who wields it. I think that that's also something that someone might have argued before these other national monument designations were made in the 70s or in the 50s. People might have said, hey, we have enough land preserved already. We don't need more. And now we're very grateful to have Grand Teton National Park.
Yeah. Has some, can you tell us about any national monuments that have been designated by President Obama?
I know President Obama designated the San Gabriel Mountains near Los Angeles, which is a huge area of just public land near L.A. that is now protected for millions of people who are within a half-hour drive away from it. It's a really important area for people to go and just spend time outside, people who live in a big city like Los Angeles. So that's one area that he preserved.
Yeah, and a recent article, maybe you haven't seen this one, but he is going to designate Chicago's Pullman Park District, which is a site of African-American and labor history, a national monument. So it's not just scenic natural areas.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about that one. That's fascinating and really cool. It's about natural wonders. It's not necessarily, it's about natural wonders or just places that are important to us, important to our country. And it's something that can be physical and natural beauty or something of historical significance.
Yeah. Let's take a call from John in Black River Falls. Hello, John.
Good morning. If Congress would act in a timely fashion about all kinds of issues, would the president need to have the authority to designate and do things without their approval? It's not only that he's doing things on his own. It's the fact that Congress doesn't do anything.
Do you think that the president should still be able to retain the power to designate national monuments?
Yes, I do, within reason, as long as it doesn't go overboard and they just designate things, you know, foolishly.
Yeah, how do you determine that? I wonder, Shelby.
So the point was to make sure that people don't designate things foolishly.
Yeah.
I think that something to consider is most of our presidents are pretty smart people and have advisors who they're going to, and also know that they're still subject to the court of public opinion. Like if they take something away, that's going to be, if they designate a land and know that designation might be really unpopular, it's something that they're going to weigh. So I don't think it's something, even without congressional approval, I still think that, you know, presidents are weighing these matters seriously, and that, you know, it's a serious responsibility, and that it's being taken seriously by the government already.
But in case John just joined us, the Antiquities Act, which was established more than 100 years ago, you explained, Shelby, was established because Congress at that time was having a debate over, was very slow moving when it came to designating Devil's Tower a national monument. So President Theodore Roosevelt, he pushed this through. I'm not sure if he just said, I'm just going to do it. He pushed through the American Antiquities Act because of that particular debate.
Yeah, that was one of the main driving forces behind it.
But Congress approved it.
That's true. Yeah, Congress did approve it.
Interesting. All right. We had a listener who wondered, why do we need the federal government to preserve these things when states have their own park systems?
I mean, I think that there are certainly some benefits to having some national administration to these different parks. The National Park Service brings a lot of resources. Sometimes state governments may not have the funding or the staffing or just the things they need to manage some of these lands, because some parks get huge numbers of visitors. And the National Park Service just brings a lot of strength and weight to bear to help manage those lands and make them something that can benefit nearby communities too.
Steve in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Joya. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on the person, whether or not the president would be acting foolish. We wouldn't have Yellowstone because that was considered a foolish act at the time. We wouldn't have Isle Royal because that was considered a foolish act at the time. How do we judge what's foolish and what is not, and what is truly valuable to our society?
And it's valuable to you, Steve?
Very much so.
Tell us why.
Have you ever been to Isle Royal or Yellowstone?
Yes, but I'm, you know.
You can't really describe the feeling of nature, peace, overwhelming beauty, pristine natural areas. Yeah. Are just a great resource for society. And if you have the opportunity to take someone who doesn't have that as an option and show them that, that is so rewarding.
Thank you very much, Steve, for your testimonial. So are national monuments important to you? Are you concerned at all about this proposed change that would change the way national monuments are designated? We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Alaska's two U.S. senators have teamed up with an Alaska U.S. representative to introduce legislation that would prohibit the president from declaring a federal property a national monument through an executive order, and would instead require congressional and state legislative approval. We are talking about this proposed change to the century-old American Antiquities Act. And we are wondering if you think that this Antiquities Act should be changed. Do you think a president needs congressional approval to designate a national monument? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Shelby Carpenter, a freelance writer. She's also a mountain guide with the American Alpine Institute. She's author of Images of America, Denali National Park and Preserve. And she wrote a recent piece entitled The Fight for Public Lands Just Got Serious, talking about the fight over this proposed change to the American Antiquities Act. And since we're not getting a lot of response from you on the politics of this legislation, how about if we find out if you have visited any national monuments? Do you enjoy national monuments? Can you name a national monument that you've visited? How about national parks? Many national monuments eventually become national parks. In order for the national park to be designated, that does need congressional approval. But right now, as it stands, a president can declare or designate a national monument to federally protect a national treasure. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. David on Facebook says the reason this is a question is the fact that Obama wants to declare 12 million acres of tundra and ice a national monument so it can never be used for oil and gas exploration. Taking that much land from a state really is trampling on states' rights and is purely an ideological move. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, and this president is a prime example. Or maybe this specific example is a prime example. And Shelby, can you address that there's no need to declare, as David puts it, 12 million acres of tundra and ice a national monument?
The Arctic National Wildlife Reserve is home to countless wildlife. It is pristine land, and it is something that we need to weigh seriously and look at protecting. And I think that it's not necessarily an ideological move on President Obama's part, and that it's not a partisan issue or an issue of Democratic presidential overreach. President Bush, the most recent Bush, for example, designated a marine national monument near Hawaii that at the time was the largest marine preserve in the entire world. So it's not something where a Democratic president is trampling on the rights of states.
All right. Let's go to Bill in Madison. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Two comments related. One, I think people should watch the excellent Ken Burns National Park series if they want to get a real sense of the history behind all of the legislation, and the executive order powers that, were put in place. It's a good example of why they're needed. And in particular, concerning Denali National Park and how the people up there were so opposed, but once it finally went through, they were delighted with the tourism. Secondly, concerning giving power to states, just look at the types of things that our own governor here would like to do to restrict these types of powers, and imagine that popping up all over the United States. We need it controlled at the federal level, and give what the president continue to have the executive order powers.
Thank you for weighing in, Bill. And Shelby, you want to? I'm sure you're not real familiar with what's happening in Wisconsin, but what about you know, Ken Burns and the National Parks documentary?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that your caller makes a really good point that the Antiquities Act has allowed the president to make designations like the one in Denali that initially were not particularly popular in local communities, or say that the changes that are being proposed in Congress that would require the approval of state legislatures, maybe that change wouldn't have made at all, and those preservations wouldn't have been made because they weren't popular locally, but ultimately came back to really benefit local communities by preserving these lands and also by driving tourism to the area.
Yeah. And can you attest to the fight over Denali being designated a national park and now Alaska loving that it is?
I mean, tourism is a huge part of the economy in Alaska, and it's a part that I'm actually a part of still as a mountain guide. I go up there with two other guides and nine clients every year, and usually none of them are from Alaska, and we're all going there and filling up our gas tanks and buying lunch and spending money on, you know, cab rides. Like, all of those things are helping the community in Anchorage, helping communities in the smaller towns that otherwise wouldn't necessarily have a lot of people going there. So it is something that helps local communities.
We'll go next to Chaz in Oneida. Good morning.
Good morning. Just like to make a comment here that there's an opportunity here to really discuss the commons a little more than we commonly understand. Several of the callers already talked a little bit about the history of executive order, and particularly this aspect of the executive order decision. But unfortunately, I'd like to have the comment to the whole issue that states' rights and politics and federal rights and politics, what's really behind some of these decisions is no longer about good management and stewardship. It's about the politics and bipartisan politics that we seem to have struggled with in many states and in the federal government and the United States at this time. So I'd like a comment there, if you could. It's a sad state we're in, I believe, right now, because we're in so much bipartisan discussion.
You mean partisan discussion, Chaz?
Partisan discussion, yeah. Trying to get to a better place. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, so I guess, can you address the more hyper-partisan politics of today than maybe of 100 years ago? I guess not. Okay, let's go to Sean in Burlington. Hi, Sean.
Hi, my comment is that if this were to pass under this president or a future president, that'd be pretty much the end of the designation of national monuments. So a lot of things that are precious and could be protected would not be protected. And my question is how does this affect existing national monuments? Would they be able to be delisted from the national monuments list? And I'll take the response off the air. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Shelby?
So I don't believe that this would change anything in terms of the lands that are currently protected. It's a matter of future designations.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are just joining us, the concern that some have with the requiring of congressional approval is that, let's say, worthy national treasures, pristine areas, sites worth preserving, will not be designated national monuments because there will be too much fighting in Congress over it, or Congress will move too slowly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Saul in Stevens Point. Hi, Saul.
Hi, good morning. Two things. Big fan of monuments to parks. I went out to Joshua Tree for many years as a monument, and I think Bill Clinton signed it in as a national park. The second thing is, I think people are mistaking the fact that the federal government owns this land already. It's not being stolen from the states. so they own the land. Designating it has to do with how cheaply people can exploit its resources. That's all I had to say.
Yeah, explain that to us a little bit more in terms of, declaring it a national monument, what about exploiting resources?
This is not state land that's being
right, it's already federal land.
Yes. People want to exploit the resources on it because even though they don't own it, the federal gives forests and mining away for a song. You know, this has been ongoing for 150 years. So I can understand why you'd want to put something in designation. The federal government isn't going to get anything out of it if it's not designated for other purposes. You know what I mean? So if there's oil on the land, the federal government gets almost nothing for it.
All right. Well, Shelby, we have just a minute or so to go. Are you... I don't know. What are your thoughts in terms of the chances of this bill to change the Antiquities Act?
I'm definitely very concerned about it, about the Republican majority in Congress right now and the possibility of it passing, or even if there was a veto, the possibility of a veto override. So I am concerned about the bill, and I'm a huge fan of the Antiquities Act and national monuments and national parks. So... we'll see what happens from here.
Thank you very much for being with us. Shelby Carpenter, freelance writer, mountain guide with the American Alpine Institute, author of Images of America, Denali National Park and Preserve. Talking with us about this legislation that would prohibit the president from declaring a federal property a national monument. Instead, requiring congressional approval and state legislative approval before a federal property is designated a national monument. Thanks to Kayla Blado and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.